What's up, everyone? It's Endymion, and today I got a bone to pick with games journalists more than I usually do. Beyond that, I want to talk about Deadpool and Wolverine, don't worry, no spoilers in this video, and how the existence of that movie proves that whatever these freaks are fighting against is not working whatsoever. Let's get into it. Firstly, I want to speak about this Kotaku article that pretty much inspired this entire video. It's titled, "This Was Never About Anything Other Than Hate." It's an article by none other than Alyssa Mercanti, the failed cam girl who has made it her mission to fight against what she deems the bigotry of the industry. What she fights against is what she deems you and me to be, by the way. We're the bigots because we don't subscribe to their lunacy and have been winning all year rejecting their products, shows, and more as everything crumbles around them. As per usual, when this happens, we're labeled bigots and racist because, of course, when something full of diversity fails, it's always somehow the fans' fault and never the people who are actually in charge of making those things in the first place. Alyssa uses the debate surrounding Assassin's Creed Shadows as her base, explaining that the hatred towards Yasuke is not warranted and Ubisoft was wrong to apologize to the hordes of players out there demanding them to change the game because of its messaging. Alyssa would say, "A fledgling but ferociously loud group of gamers will tell you the Assassin's Creed Shadows backlash is about respecting Japanese culture or refusing to accept woke ideologies that are being forced into their games by consulting groups who hold no real power." But just like in 2014, during the first full-throated iteration of Gamergate, this was never about anything other than hate. Fledgling, huh? So, just like Ash Parrish of The Verge, Alyssa here is attempting to say that Gamergate 2 is a small fringe minority of players and not representative of the whole. That's interesting, Alyssa. That group of Gamergaters must be pretty small, but surely if they were, that would mean that games like Tales of Kinzara Zhao, Suicide Squad, Flintlock, and more would have done well, right? But instead, Zhao had layoffs following their game coming out, which currently has players in the single digits on Steam playing it. Also curious how the devs who were let go from Zhao were all white men. I guess we know who was expendable in that company, huh? Suicide Squad is just a mess. I mean, that new Mrs. Freeze character has a ride with Season 2, and the remaining players who are sticking around for whatever reason have said that Season 2 doesn't improve whatsoever on Season 1's woes. And of course, just taking one look at Mrs. Freeze and her various skins available in-game kinda just tells you everything that you need to know. The character isn't even Freeze's wife, it's literally just female Mr. Freeze. Not Victor, now it's Victoria Freeze. She's also Asian now because diversity points, I guess. She also has the woke short haircut and a gender ambiguous body type because we can't offend people these days anymore. I mean, none of it is working, and that game has failed and turned Rocksteady into a support studio now. Then you have Flintlock, which had layoffs, the game didn't sell well, and nobody is really playing it besides some content creators. You know, for the sole purpose of capturing footage to tell thousands of others to stay clear of the game. And then you got stuff like Shadow Gambit the Cursed Crew. You probably never heard about it, but it's also Sweet Baby Infected, and guess what happened to it? Alright, the entire studio shut down following its release, and barely anybody even played it. And before you blame Shadow Gambit's failure on Gamergate, that game came out in August 2023. So that was well before Sweet Baby Inc. was even discovered for doing what it was doing to the gaming genre at the time. So even when people didn't know about Sweet Baby, their games were still being rejected by people too. That just means that when those freaks are involved with something, the games are just worse for it. And everything they've touched has quite literally turned into garbage and then just gets discarded soon after release. But Alyssa doesn't think so. After all, it's a fledgling minority of angry gamers, of course, and is no way indicative of the grander whole of the consumer base. Just ignore the fact that pretty much every woke-infested game has failed or has done worse than previous entries, and don't look at the truth because that would dismantle people like Alyssa's narratives in a few minutes if you actually took the time to look. Of course, Alyssa brings in cancel culture and ties the Gamergate 2 movement to conservative ideologies. Here's what she said, and I quote, "The internet is a powerful place, an in-between world in which imagery and rhetoric can be weaponized to such an extent it bleeds into real life. In 2014, a misogynistic movement demanding ethics in games journalism broke gaming containment with such ferocity that politicians took note. Steve Bannon, the former chief political strategist for President Donald Trump, told author Joshua Green that he realized former Breitbart technology consultant Milo Yiannopoulos could connect with these kids right away. You can activate that army. They come in through Gamergate or whatever and then get turned onto politics and Trump. Harnessing that power forever changed the landscape of mainstream politics. Many believe it directly led to both Trump securing the election in 2016 and the Capitol riots of January 6, 2021. Part of what ensures this army remains active is consistently feeding them things they should be outraged about. For Trump and his ilk, it was a veritable laundry list of perceived problems that only he could fix. Immigrants, taxes, a break for billionaires, transgender people, a Title IX rollback, abortion, Bannon, and more. There is always something to be up in arms about, always something to ensure you are scared, angry, concerned, and ready to do whatever it takes to get him reelected. The reactionary right-wing movement in gaming that has reared its ugly head yet again is no different, and it's happening right now for a reason. Sociocultural issues are reaching a fever pitch in an election year, and just like 10 years ago, political ire is bleeding into popular culture, where it has been seized upon by those looking to take advantage of naive, impressionable young men who are shunned in public, but lauded and even loved online. There are countless studies and stories proving that the radicalization of male youth has been propped up and perpetuated by the internet. Go read them, as they'll convince you far more effectively than I can, but what I can say, especially having faced this ire ceaselessly for months, is that this kind of movement is fueled by nothing but hate. It's a special brand of hatred, a sort of backwards logic boomerang careening through the air on its way back from progress. Since its inception, gaming as a cultural space was largely dominated by white boys and men. You had to have a certain amount of wealth and free time to even partake in it. And those were not readily available to marginalized groups in the 80s and 90s. Marketing and the designs of games aimed at boys increasingly fueled the widespread perception that this hobby was exclusively for them, to the point where many girls with an interest in it were met with parental resistance and cultural shunning. I myself only forged ahead in gaming after my parents refused to keep feeding into a boy hobby because I could afford to buy an Xbox 360 with my summer job money. And my story is not unique. Eventually, a substantial number of women, queer folks, and minorities got jobs in the video game industry as developers, social media managers, community organizers, journalists, and more. The rise of indie games opened up the floor for more unique approaches to game development, more diverse schools of thought, more genre-bending titles that defy definition. Largely thanks to the Me Too and Black Lives Matter movements, bad actors were held accountable for perpetuating antiquated ideologies or antisocial behaviors against marginalized folks in gaming. It was a fight to get to even a somewhat level playing field, but I felt like we had nearly gotten there. There will never be a shortage of hate for them to spread. The only way forward is a full-throated denouncing of bad actors in the video game space from the biggest names in the business, the largest companies in this industry. Not a bizarre, ham-handed statement that will lend credence to their baseless bullshit that implies that their arguments are rooted in logic when hate itself is illogical. As Aftermath's Geeta Jackson wrote, "Racism isn't a logical position, so you cannot defeat it with logic. Facts just don't matter to a racist, especially not the tedious kinds of racist who makes their home in video game culture. There will always be a new hair to split." End quote. My god, that was a lot to read, but as you can see, Alyssa believes that anyone and everyone that rejects the woke mind virus in all of its forms is by definition a bigoted racist, and then Trump won the election in 2016 because of Gamergate, apparently. I wish I was kidding, but this is how these people think. January 6th happened because it indirectly attaches itself to the online discussions of video games, somehow. Yet if I were to say that weirdos vandalizing stores or public property is tied to woke schooling ruining their minds and corrupting their self-images, Alyssa would say I'm crazy. Right, okay then. The truth is simply, like Sam Hyde once said, it's impossible to live with these people anymore. For too long, there has been coexistence between ideological stances and political groups. But now, more than ever before, these freaks want nothing more than for us to either be dead or become just like them. The hilarious part about all of this is simply that none of it is working in their favor. I mean, every game that is doing well this year is pretty much stuff that doesn't adhere to their agenda. Look at the first Descendant. That game is blowing up, and I would wager has made more money in one day than Suicide Squad will make in a month. Not to mention, the game has tons of beautiful character models, and if you go on Cabrutus' DEI website, the first Descendant is confirmed to be DEI-free in every way imaginable. Meaning that you can play it and enjoy the game that will never talk down to you, well, so far anyways. Of course, it's a live service and things could change, but then again, it's Korean, so the likelihood of this happening is, well, probably low. Western live service games would sacrifice their firstborns for the kind of numbers that the first Descendant is getting right now. Just look at the difference between the first Descendant's Steam numbers compared to those of Concord. And I'm using the free public beta version of Concord to compare it to the first Descendant since both versions are free. But remember that Concord will be $50 Canadian at launch, so if these are the sorts of numbers it pulls on Steam when it's free to play, once it gets placed behind a paywall, the game is dead in the water. And at this point, slop like Concord will exist simply to be turned into another series of videos by content creators the internet over. Luke Stevens, The Gamers Channel, probably even me and more will all just dunk on it when it releases, and for good reason. We are in a sense living in a post-woke era world where the concept of it existing is thrashing to stay alive like a bug that's drowning in a jar of salt. Frantically looking for a way out until it eventually accepts its demise. There's no saving what's happening to this ideology or the myriad of games being made. I mean, even in the past year alone, we know that over $5 trillion have been lost in investments when it comes to ESG. Can you even fathom how much money that even is that just evaporated into thin air due to failed attempts at pushing woke identity politics? Can you even imagine how much good could have been done if you had $5 trillion goddamn dollars at your disposal right now? Dude, never mind Iron Man, you can make your own Iron Man army of suits yourselves and still have enough schmeckles to spend afterwards. To help you fathom that, 1 trillion is 1,000 billion in total. So that's $5,000 billion basically lost chasing this woke garbage for the past few years since around 2020 or so. How the hell can you sit there at Kotaku and try to tell the players out there that you know what? You are wrong for not accepting these things, knowing full well that these investors across the board have lost enough money pursuing stupid shit that nobody cares about, when they could have used a fraction of that money to solve real problems in today's world. Imagine how much better places like Canada or America could become if $5 trillion in investments were put into things like, I don't know, infrastructure, roads, healthcare, and housing. But nah, instead, let's forget about all of that and let's just spend $200 million of that $5 trillion funding a game called Concord, where the ugliest character designs known to mankind can exist so barely 3,000 people can play it at any given time. That's a far better use of that money. You just can't be serious, Alyssa. You're fighting on a hill with a few other disillusioned journalists who know in their hearts that this fight is just not going in your favor. You're wounded, you're outnumbered, and the Doctor Strange portals aren't going to open, and suddenly thousands of woke DI freaks are going to come pouring out through it like Spider-Man and the Guardians of the Galaxy to save you. Captain America with a shattered shield, you are not. You're a games journalist. We all know you didn't want to become a games journalist first. That was never your first option of employment. I mean, clearly, based on your history, it isn't. You became one because likely you, like many other games journalists out there, couldn't cut it when it came to real political journalistic integrity. So you just decided to aim lower and then you landed in video games, but you still wanted to push your agendas and feed your anger into something political. So you and your friends decided to start spewing your own brand of hatred, and over time you thought it would work. But it hasn't. You couldn't even win against the first run of Gamergate when it was heavily disorganized, but now? You're all cooked, dude. Gamergate 2 is organized. It is a veritable online movement that has systematically ran through the online gaming space to the point where most people know what it is already and what it stands for. Look at my channel. 261,000 subscribers as of the making of this video. All of them knowing full well the distaste and distrust of your side of the aisle. We don't believe your lies anymore. We don't trust you. Your websites, your opinions, your presences, they only exist at this point to validate and strengthen what is already incapable of breaking. You think by making some article claiming that everyone who disagrees with you is bigots will somehow work in your favor? You know it won't. You wrote this article for other games journalists because, as they say, you write what you know. And you don't know what the common player wants anymore because you're barely even one yourself. You're so lost in the woke sauce, you're drowning in it, unable to distinguish your ass from your own face with how much hate is soaked into you by all of this. You claim that none of this bothers you, but every day you're tweeting about it. You write about it. It lives rent-free in your head at all hours of the day. At this point, the Gamergate 2 movement, it's like the Venom symbiote. It's living inside of you. You're like a woke Peter Parker desperately trying to get rid of it, but secretly, you don't want to. Because if you truly believed that none of this mattered, that all of this was stupid and pointless, you would be rid of all of this. But you aren't. And you'll continue to double and triple down as time goes on. We know it, you know it too. The closer that election gets, the more insane you're going to become, as well as your friends, and the more deranged and venomous your takes will become too, because you can't help yourself. You're like a wounded hyena who really thinks it knows better than anyone else. I feel sorry for you above all. You could squash this beef with many if you actually reached out and went on someone's live stream and, you know, just talked about it like a normal human being. I mean, Nick Calandra of Second Wind even went on Side Scrollers a little while back. It's possible for opposing sides to speak to one another. But the truth is, as you know, you simply just don't want to. Either it's because it'll trigger some woke PTSD in your antidepressant-filled brain, or you know that deep down that if you did debate someone on the other side, you'd be exposed for all to see on how insane your opinions, politics, and beliefs really are. And I think that deep down you know that. You want to live in that lie. You want to roll yourself around in it. And at this point, I think what we're witnessing is simply the death rattle of an ideology that knows that its time is up. Look around the world right now. Nationalism is booming. Right-wing politicians are claiming power all over. It annoys you, I get that, but just think to yourself for a second. Why has this all happened? Why are your leftist friends getting canceled now? Why aren't things the way they were like back in 2020 when your side had all the power? Is it racism? Is it sexism or bigotry? Or could it be, maybe, just maybe, that your side has driven this entire world into such depths of depravity, insanity, and nonsense that you can't bring yourself to admit that all of this that's crashing down is simply your fault in the first place? And now that there is nothing you can do to stop this from crashing down, you're looking for reasons, anything to justify to explain why things are the way that they are. When ultimately, all you have to do is look in the mirror to see who is responsible for all of your problems. You know it. I know it. You just need to admit it. Look, I don't hate you. If anything, I just feel sorry for you. Hopefully you come around eventually and realize how absolutely screwed up your side is, but if you don't ever do that, whether it's, I don't know, fear of blacklisting or excommunication, well, just know you're not going to win anyone to your side by constantly just calling them bigots and racists and sexists. But what do I know, right? I'm apparently a right-wing extremist bigot myself, according to you and others. But anyways, let's move on to this other story, which is Deadpool and Wolverine now. I saw it Thursday night with a packed theater with my girlfriend and I really enjoyed it. I felt like the middle of that movie was dragging a bit, but once the final act kicked in, oh boy, I was having fun. There was like maybe 4 or 5 moments in that movie that made me scream, especially once Wolverine finally dons the cowl. It's not a spoiler, by the way, but once he puts on the mask, dude, I lost it. It looked perfect. The movie's also blowing up the box office, and rightfully so. It made over $100 million before Friday was even over. So it made $100 million in early Friday showings, plus its Thursday pre-screenings. It's safe to say that this movie will likely break a billion. I mean, I don't see it not doing that. And it's a simple reason, really, because Disney finally gave people what they wanted for once. After flop of DEI diversity slop, we got a movie starring 2 straight white guys playing characters that people actually love. It wasn't pandering, there was no political commentary, sure there were a few jabs of course. I mean, Deadpool at one point yells woke mob at Cassandra Nova, but largely speaking it was fine. It was all Marvel needs to be, just fun and action-packed, and it just gave people what they wanted, and lo and behold, look at your box office now, Disney. Deadpool and Wolverine, 2 straight white guy characters just saved your franchise pretty much by bringing it back to prominence. Wow. Who would have guessed giving people what they wanted would work, huh? No insufferable girl bosses, no token diversity characters, the characters that are diverse, and oh, there's some, believe me. I won't spoil it, of course, but they are crowd pleasers, and that's putting it lightly. But what a great movie, man. I want to watch it again eventually if I can find the time to do it, but I'm glad that I saw it. But this just proves what I've been saying for so long and in this video, which is that people love masculine male heroes, and they love when stuff is accurate to the comics. When you give people an emasculated girl boss movie, you end up losing millions like Furiosa and more. And the opposite is clearly true of Wolverine and Deadpool now. Your woke journals can get mad all they want, the truth is that masculinity is here to stay. And strong male characters will always be the de facto way to sell and make a profit in today's age no matter what. The men want to see it because the male characters are strong, and the women want to see it because they get eye candy. It's a win-win for everyone. It also makes me excited to see how Disney does the X-Men, although it's worrying because apparently they still want to make the Disney X-Men team female-focused, which could be disastrous for all the same reasons as usual. Disney is smart, which they aren't, but if they wanted to make money, they would put Wolverine, Deadpool, and even Cyclops up front and center and ensure that they are leading the way. But I don't think the woke stuff is quite over yet. They'll still try to sneak it in here and there, but like always, it'll be up to all of us to call it out. But I mean, when I say that this nonsense is dying, you don't just lose $5 trillion in investments for no reason these days. It's not an anomaly that a movie starring Wolverine and Deadpool makes $1 billion, and it's not surprising that everything pushing ugly mongoloid freaks of nature like Mrs. Freeze are failing out of the gate too. You want to make money and stay relevant? Stick to catering to the majority, the normal people who actually help keep the lights on, Hollywood. You want your games to be great? Make a great game first, and then remove all the political talking down nonsense, and I promise you, you'll thank me. Or you could be like Alyssa Mercanti over here that's complaining that everyone who disagrees with her is a racist and that Trump got elected because of Gamergate. And that still makes me laugh, man. So I guess if Trump wins this election, you're welcome because of Gamergate 2 somehow being the reason. I'm not sure how nobody buying Suicide Squad means that Donald Trump wins, but apparently that's what's happening according to Kotaku. Are we really surprised anymore that these crazy people are like this? Not really. But man, is it sure fun to laugh at their craziness. These lunatics, they really want to run the asylum, don't they? And I guess it's up to me and others to make sure they get back in their padded rooms before they hurt somebody. Masculinity is back in business, the woke is dying, and Wolverine is still one of my favorite characters since I was a wee child. God, I love Wolverine. Thanks for watching, everybody. Remember to like, subscribe, and share the video, and thanks to my patrons and members as well. If you want to subscribe to the membership level, it's $3 a month. Thanks for everything. Stay base and have a wonderful day, and I'll see you in the next one, bub.